The Boston Red Sox today are the gold standard when it comes to Major League Baseball franchises. The Bo Sox seem to always be in contention, and Fenway Park is standing room only every night. But it wasn't always like this in Beantown. Our guest today on Sports and Commentary knows that from personal experience. Hi, I'm Greg Stewart. This is S&C. The show is sponsored by your tax-deductible gifts to Western Wisconsin's Inspirational Broadcaster Incorporated. You can learn more or give anytime online. Help support the show at WWIB.com. Rico Petrocelli was an infield star for the Boston Red Sox in the 60s and 70s, two-time All-Star, Red Sox Hall of Famer, back with me on the show today. So you get this impression when you watch the Bo Sox now that, fans have always supported the team and filled Fenway Park, but it really wasn't like that until you guys changed the culture with that impossible dream team that played St. Louis in the 1967 World Series. So, Rico, tell me about the before and after, because it was different from that year on.
Yeah, I mean, it was terrible. My first year, we lost 100 games. We had a total of, I think, 600,000 people the whole year, and I think 300,000 of them were free. They were Little Leaguers and the nuns from the various churches. They used to have Nuns Day and other Ladies Day and so on. So they weren't doing very well. And the next year, we improved a lot. Yeah, we only lost 99 games. And but then they decided to bring up all the young guys. That was my third year. And a new manager. And Dick Williams really brought in he changed the culture, on the field to a team that would do the little things to win, not just be concerned about home runs only. And that's in those days, they bunted. We all bunted. We had to be decent bunters, hit and run, steal bases, and then the home runs would come. So it worked out, and we had a great race, four-team race, right to the last day. We played Minnesota, and whoever won that would, win the pennant. Then you go right to the World Series, even though we had to wait for Detroit to lose because they were right behind us. Which they did, and then we won it. Well, my goodness. At that time, people came on the field after celebrating. Wow. The fans came out there. They took Jim Lomborg on their shoulders, and he was heading to right field. I wanted to give him the ball because I caught the last out and decided to run into the clubhouse. I said, I'll see him when he comes in. I gave him the ball. And that really was a beginning of what they call Red Sox Nation. The fans kept, they were coming out the next year. And since then, I don't think they've drawn less than a million. It's always 1.9 million. Now it's over 2 million, almost 3 million. Probably is over 3 million. So, it was nice to be a part of that.
Yeah, yeah. I bet you got a story or two from the clubhouse from those years, huh?
Yeah. Well, we had... In those days, we had a clubhouse that was very loose, with every language and talking about the things I know now we shouldn't have been. That and, of course, focusing on the game itself and trying to improve. We didn't have what they have today, but, we talked about the opposition. And many of the players, I was fortunate to play with Yastrzemski, and a lot of players came with the Red Sox, but towards the end of their career, so I really didn't see them. But I faced a lot of guys, watching Willie Mays, Mantle, Roberto Clemente, Hank Aaron as a kid, I got to play against them. Wow, what a thrill. Oh, my goodness. It was, a dream come true. And of course, in those days, everything was sports, you made decent money and your travel was good. And you got some time to travel in the off season to different countries, to do baseball instructional videos. And wow, this was terrific. I met my wife when I was in the minors, and we've been married 53 years now. And she's on the phone. And and with 4 children, 9 grandkids. I mean, I've been really blessed, but not knowing at the time I was, you know, when my 4th child was born, 4 boys. I mean, wow. I pictured, you know, let's see, if we keep going, we can maybe get a baseball, or at least a basketball team. But thankfully, it was stopped at 4.
4 was enough, huh? All right, you're in the Red Sox Hall of Fame, but not enshrined in Cooperstown. Do you feel like you deserve to be in the MLB Hall?
Not the National Hall of Fame, absolutely not. I just didn't have the numbers throughout my whole career. Most of the guys that are in there have, you know, had years, ton of years of really tremendous stats. And so, you know, they deserve it. I look back and I see I had 210 home runs, 2 in the World Series. And I say to myself, I should have had 300 home runs. You know, I retired early because of injury. I was only 33. I probably could have gone another 3-4 years.
Yeah, last game was in July of 1976. All of it with the Boston Red Sox. Okay, well, we have to retire the show today, Rico, and let's return and have you share how you found a personal, life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. It was while you were a member of the Red Sox, and we'll let you tell the story next time here. So thanks for being on S&C today. Appreciate it. We will talk very soon, all right?
All right, take care.
You as well.